Amen. Well, as you grab your seat, grab a Bible, and join me in Ephesians chapter 4. If you need a Bible, you'll always find one in a seat close by. And if you don't own a Bible, go ahead and take that one home. Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to reiterate, this Tuesday's First Tuesday. We are going to sing and pray our way through the book of 1 Peter, just looking at different passages from each chapter of that book. We're going to pray into praising the Lord for our living hope that we've been born again into. We're going to pray for marriages, husbands and wives, and the instructions we find there. We're going to pray for those who are suffering. And so we just would love to eat dinner together Tuesday, come in here and just seek the Lord in prayer. There's a million reasons why we could come circumstantially to pray, but at the top of that list is just the heart that we see in Psalm 27. You said, Lord, seek your face, and we say, your face, Lord, will we seek? And so that's what we want to do when we gather on those Tuesdays. We are in the midst of a few-week series called Simply Disciples of Jesus. If you're newer with us, we are walking verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke. This will take us a couple years. And so periodically in this couple year journey, we'll pause and we'll do a bit of a mini series on a certain theme. As we made our way through Luke, we just wanted to pause and talk about what does it look like for us to be growing deeper as disciples of Jesus. That's the heart of this mini series here. In week one, we talked about growing up, that if we know him, we're to grow up into him. We're to grow from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. And we looked in Hebrews at what it says about that. In week two, we talked about the reality that we don't grow up on our own. We grow up together. That God has created community and his church as the means by which we help and sharpen one another to grow in the Lord. Last week at our church picnic, we talked about growing up at home, with a look at the truths of Deuteronomy 6 and what it looks like to impress upon the next generation, impress upon our children and our children's children, the precepts and commands of the Lord. And then today we look at a phrase that we find in this passage will be in, growing up into Christ. Growing up into Christ, what it looks like for us to be growing together as his, and here's the key word, his body. Now, just to begin with this idea of the body, the way God designed the human body physically, the way God designed it to function is amazing. Just a quick Google search. Here's like five amazing facts about the human body. An adult's blood vessels measure anywhere between 60,000 to 100,000 miles long. An adult, the length of blood vessels in our body can wrap around the equator more than twice. You're like, I don't even, you know, you can fact check me on all this, okay? But your heart beats around 100,000 times per day. Messages move through your nervous system at around 250 miles per hour. Our bodies are made up of 1,000, or roughly 1,000 ligaments, which connect everything together. And then listen to this, a healthy set of eyes can distinguish up to 10 million distinct shades of color. God truly made the body in an amazing way. And he uses this picture of the body to describe his church. There's many pictures God uses. He calls it a family. He calls it a spiritual house. But the body is one of his favorite pictures in Scripture to describe his church. And in the spiritual body of the church truly does function in an amazing way. And so in the sermon today, I want us to see how our growth as disciples of Jesus contributes to the health of Christ's body. That our growth is not just about us. The way we grow deeper in the Lord contributes to the overall health of the body. We, throughout this series, we've just introduced our discipleship pathway. It's not complicated. It's not complex. I think there's still physical copies in the back if you need one as you go. But we just wanted a tool to provide clarity to all of us. What does it look like? How do we take our next steps from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity? And what does that look like? Today, I really want us to see that we won't grow, we can't grow to ultimate maturity unless we understand that we are one unified body, We are one unified spiritual body functioning in many diverse spiritual gifts. That's really the main idea of today. We are one unified spiritual body functioning in many diverse spiritual gifts. And we're going to kind of break this main idea into just two parts. In part one, we want to look at the reality of what Paul says in the first six verses, that we are to function as one unified body. That point we'll go relatively quickly through. I'm a preacher, so emphasis relatively, okay? But then we really are going to camp out today in the second part of this, what it means that we have many diverse spiritual gifts that we're to be using for the building up of the whole body. And within that point, we want to look at just five amazing facts of the church as a spiritual body and how we function. And so here's the heart today, that by the time we walk out of church, that we would connect some things. We would connect the reality that your growth as a disciple contributes to our growth as his body, which contributes to us functioning for his glory as the head of his body. And all of that is deeply connected. Let me pray and let's let God's word speak for itself. Father, your word now is before us open. And God, your word, we can't even put to human words how powerful your living and active word is. And so God, here we are. We humble ourselves under the truth of your word. We ask you to speak powerfully to our hearts. God, the preacher's job is to say nothing more, nothing less. So help me, Lord, do that. And Lord, would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see today what you have for each of our hearts and what you have for us corporately as a church. I pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at this first part. We are one unified spiritual body. Look with me at verse 1, Ephesians 4, verse 1. Actually, I need your help. When I read these first six verses, every time we come to the word one, I want you to just read that with me, okay? I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belonged to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, I just want to stop there, and I really want to emphasize where Paul begins this theme, because he's going to get to the beauty of the uniqueness of the different parts of the body, but he's like, we got to understand something first. God's intention is for the body to be all one unified body working together. And so where he starts at the beginning of Ephesians 4 flows right out of Ephesians chapter 3, and they didn't take a Bible degree to understand that, right? But at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, you have this beautiful prayer. Not a him who's able to do to far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. And now Paul begins to unpack what God's glory in this church look like. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Okay, Paul, what does it look like? What does it look like for the church to walk in the manner worthy of the calling of which we've been called? Well, here it is. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now look at this, verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God's intention is that his church would walk in unity. What separates the church from like any other organization, institution, anything else in this world, is that we are to be a people marked by supernatural unity, not man-made unity, not just like we're all gathered around the same affinity group, we all like the same thing. No, a supernatural unity. And that as the Spirit is at work in his body, there is a unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, Paul double clicks on this unity with all the ones. One, 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 one. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to this one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What's the repeated word there? You tell me. One. One another, one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Here it is now. We are not And we got like, man, we got to camp out on this so much kind of in our culture. We're very individualistic culture. We're very isolated. We pull into our garages and we time up that garage door just so none of our neighbors have to talk to us. We put fences around our backyard. So we're just very, no guilt there, by the way, on any of that. Like, we're just very isolated individuals. But listen, we are not a disconnected group of people who just happen to share the same room to worship him on Sunday. We are not islands unto ourselves. We're one. We are one body. And now zoom out a bit. Redeemer Bible Church as a whole, it's not just about us. We're connected to this beautiful thing called the church on the greater south side of Indianapolis. Oh, Indianapolis. Oh, India. Oh, our whole, around the world. I was just in the lobby this morning talking to a family who is here for the weekend. They live in the great state of Michigan. God created the world and on the sixth day put his hand on Michigan, okay? But it was so cool. Like here they are, like right, they're not part of our body. They're here visiting family. And we're connected. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is the oneness that the church is to enjoy. So now related to our discipleship. Your growth as a disciple is bigger than you. It impacts the whole body. Our growth as this, a local expression of the church, is bigger than us. It impacts the greater body. And we get this, right? If we just press the image God has given us here of the body, just as strengthening one part of our physical body contributes to the strengthening of the rest of the body, so strengthening our walk with the Lord contributes to the greater health of the whole body. Or conversely, just as one part of the body might weaken or atrophy, and it affects the strength and the health of the rest of the body, if we neglect a deeper, pressing into a deeper walk with Jesus, it has impact on the rest of the body. Think about maybe a time in your life you broke a finger, broke a toe, you splinted a pinky finger or something, and you're like, wow, I used my pinky for much more than I ever realized. Like one little part impacts the functioning of the whole body. So your growth in the Lord, my growth in the Lord, or our lack thereof, it affects way more than just us, than just kind of this me and God mentality. We must be invested in the growth of our walk with Jesus for the good of our own soul, yes, but for the building up of the whole body and for the ultimate glory of Jesus Christ as the body is built up into the head. This is where Paul starts here. And Paul's point is that we are one unified body in many parts. Each part contributes to the overall unity and health of the whole. So the question is, as we kind of transition out of the second part of the statement, what's your part in building up the body of Christ? How do you function as the part of the body God has called you to function in? So let's move to the second part. We are one unified spiritual body functioning in many diverse spiritual gifts. And now I just want to take verse 7 all the way through to verse 16, and I want us to see how amazing God created his body called the church to work. Let's call them five amazing facts of the diverse gifts of the body. And it's amazing. Look with me at verse 7. But grace was given to who? What's your Bible say? To each one of us, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, and Paul quotes from Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. The first reality, first amazing fact of the diverse gifts of the body is this: every believer contributes gifts to the body. Now, what I just read in verses 7 to 10 would be awesome homework, because there is a depth of riches there and what it's saying about Jesus, the one who descended is also the one ascended. Like, there's some rich stuff there, but that for the purpose of this sermon and this series, I can't dive headlong into, but here's what we need to see at a high level. We are not gifted from within. We were not born spiritually gifted and talented. Scripture tells us we were born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was a wretch. I was dead. I was blind. I was lost. Those are all the things that describe us before Jesus Christ has saved us. God, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, came and made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. It wasn't our own doing, but the moment the Lord opened our eyes, we called on Jesus Christ by faith to be saved. The Spirit of the living God now dwells in us. And with the Spirit of the living God now dwelling in us, the Spirit has given us spiritual gifts. We are not gifted, spiritually gifted and talented on our own. We have been given gifts. And now, when Paul writes about this in the letter to First Corinthians, he emphasizes that it's the Spirit who gives us these gifts. When Paul writes about it here in Ephesians chapter 4, he's emphasizing that the giver of these gifts is Jesus Christ himself. Those are not competing ideas. The reality is, yes, the Spirit of Christ gives the gifts. Yes, Jesus Christ himself gives the gifts. But I want us to see how Christ-centered Paul is in this. The whole purpose of the message today isn't for us to leave here thinking more about ourselves. It's to look and to say, oh my goodness, Jesus is amazing. His church is amazing. He's gifted all of his people in an amazing way, that we would use those gifts to build up together to him, the head, that he would be glorified in his church. These are gifts from Christ. And with a lot of cool theological language there, if I can just kind of surf at a high level for today, what Paul's saying is the victorious and ascended Jesus Christ has gifted every one of his followers with gifts to use to build up his body. This is cool on many fronts. But one is that I think it calls us out of like our cultural Christianity where we're just like, I'm saved from my sin and now I'm just kind of twiddling my thumbs till heaven. We've been saved from our sin, gifted by the Spirit to give our lives to using the gifts God's given us so this thing called the church shines the light of Jesus across the globe. And it's an all skate. All of us get in on it. Not one of us has to sit on the sidelines to be part of this. No one gets to stay on the sidelines when it comes to the using of spiritual gifts to build up the body. This is where that each one comes in. But grace was given to each one of us. Each one, so if you like really press the Greek there, you know what it means? It means each one. Each one of us. Every single one of us who knows Jesus Christ, every single one of us indwelt by the Spirit of God. So no one gets to stay on the sidelines when it comes to using the gifts to build up the body. Last Saturday, one of my sons and I went to the Colts-Falcons preseason game. It was a boring game. But something happened when the Falcons scored their first touchdown. I have never seen happen in like the middle of a football game my whole life. The running back got loose and he ran in for, call it a 30-yard touchdown or so. All of the guys on the sideline who were just in their street clothes, they were playing, they all ran off the sidelines and onto the field to celebrate. I mean, like, 25, 30 guys all off the, in the middle of the game. I've never seen that happen. Flags are flying everywhere on sportsmanlike content. They don't care. It's a preseason game. They're like, this doesn't count. But they're all on the field celebrating. And as I was preparing for the message, I'm like, yeah. Like, this is a kind of passage that should lead all of us to run off the sidelines and go, I don't know what my gifts maybe are, but I want in the game. I want in the game. I'll figure it, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm going to go home, get on my knees and just say, like, this thing you call the church, your body that is to be like the hands and feet of you across the globe, I want in the game. Because this is too good to just twiddle my thumbs and wait for heaven. Okay, where am I? So you have them. He's gifted each one of us. But you're like, I don't know what they are. How do we figure it out? Here's just like maybe a high level counsel on that. What are the things God's burdened your heart for? Just start walking towards them. What are the needs you see in the body that you can begin to meet? Just start moving towards them. And you're like, well, I don't know if I'm gifted at all. Yeah, we never do. Have no idea. It was later in college, I began to wonder, like, God, are you calling me to ministry? Because I'm not quite sure about this. And so I made a deal with him. Lord, I'll go into pastoral ministry so long as you give me one of those roles that doesn't preach. I kept my end of the deal, okay? But the first time I ever preached, our lead pastor was gone, and the backup was gone. And so we sat around for like 45 minutes. We're like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, what? And finally, our lead pastor looks down the third stringer on the bench and says, you're going to preach in June. I said, no, I'm not. I'm looking, I'm thinking, no, I'm not. And he goes, Brock, you're going to preach in June. I said, no, I'm not. And he's like, Brock, look at me. This isn't a discussion. This is a command. And, June of 2009, maybe. And all of a sudden, preach, and it was a train wreck. Ask Erica. I got done preaching. She's like, who was that? Because that was not my husband. But then just like, okay, again in the fall, and again in the fall. Like, we don't know. We just step into it. There's a need we step into. There's a prompting on our heart, a stirring. We just step into it. And the Lord begins over time. And the rest of the body goes, when you do that, like, the church gets built up when you do that. And all of a sudden, the Lord begins to use by prayer and his people to show us how he's gifted us to build up the body. And so every believer contributes gifts to the body. The second amazing fact, some are given equipping gifts. Some are given equipping gifts. Now, what's up with that? Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. First two words of verse 12, what are they? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And so, again, I'm leaving you a lot of homework this week because there's some rich stuff here we just don't have time for. Verse 11 is a really neat verse with a lot of depth. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. There's a lot of neat kind of discussions around that. Is Paul unpacking four gifted people? Is he unpacking five? You have apostle, prophet, evangelist. Is it shepherd, teacher is one kind of gifting, or shepherds and teachers? There's some language there that, you know, I think it's four. A lot of people I respect think it's five. Do the study for yourself. But the heart is here that God has given some gifts to equip the rest of the body for works of ministry. They are to equip the saints. But I want us to look at the second and the third amazing fact together, because they go together. So every believer contributes gifts to the body. Some are given equipping gifts. Others, the third reality, others are gifted to do the work of the ministry. Verse 11 again, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, this is so cool. We got to see this because we often functionally talk about it completely backwards. What do I mean? You work with someone for 15 years and they've been part of a local church, and the local church has come to them and say, hey, we'd love for you to come on staff as one of our pastors. And we tell the rest of the people we work with, oh yeah, Jim, he's now going into ministry. And Paul talks about it like completely backwards. Pastor Mark taught me this so well. Pastor Mark, our executive pastor, worked 30 years in corporate world. The Lord made super clear, there's very clear that God had called him to be our executive pastor. And so I loved early on hearing Mark tell so many people this. He said, in many ways, when God called me out of Eli Lilly, he called me out of the front lines of ministry into an equipping role for ministry. It's really powerful. And it's exactly what Paul's saying here. Some of the gifts God gives to the body are for the purpose of equipping. But those gifts are for the purpose of the equipping of the saints, all of God's people, to do the work of ministry. And so often you look at someone like preaching as a pastor and you say, they're in ministry. And the scriptures today and I preaching, you look back and go, nope, you're in ministry. You are in ministry. And it's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher's job to equip God's people for the work of ministry. So tomorrow when you get up, you're going to ministry. When someone asks you what you do, you say, I work in the ministry as a mechanical engineer. Try that on a plane next time. They'll be like, what? Great open door. I work in the ministry as a stay-at-home mom. I work in the ministry as a farmer. I work in the ministry as a third grade teacher. I work in the ministry of visiting those in my church who can't get out much anymore. I work in the ministry of push mowing a bunch of lawns around us of people who can't mow their own lawn. I work in the ministry of posting up at the same coffee shop every week just to encourage believers there and share the hope of Jesus Christ to unbelievers. I work in the ministry. What do you do? The world would say I run a company. What I actually do is I work in the ministry to minister to 72 of our employees. This changes everything. What a privilege that God's grand plan through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ was not just to hold some cosmic Billy Graham crusade for billions of people, but to look down upon his people and to say, I've gifted you with this gift right here, and I've called you to that ministry and that place right there. And when you do what I've gifted you to do, where I've called you to do it, the light of my son Jesus shines across this globe. What a privilege. And so every believer, it's an all skate. Every believer gets in on this. Some are given equipping gifts. Others are gifted to do the work of the ministry. Fourth reality, all the gifts are for the body's maturing. Okay, here it is. Well, let me read it, because God's word says it better than my word, so let's just do that. Verse 13. Let me start at 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Stop right there. So see what's happening. Remember, we got to zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. So we've been zooming in. We said like every part, God has equipped every believer. Everyone has a part in this. Now zoom out. As all of us are using the gifts God's given us, we're all collectively strengthening the body of Christ. We're not. The power of Christ in us, as we're obedient, is strengthening his whole body. Now here, all of those gifts being used mean the body of Jesus Christ is maturing. And he lists out here in these verses blessings of maturity and protection, the protection of maturity. What are the blessings of maturity? He says we're like growing in a unity of faith. Christ's body, as all of his people are exercising their gifts, they're growing in a unity of faith. We're growing in the knowledge of the Son of God. We're maturing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're growing into mature manhood. We're growing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're maturing in Christ's likeness. And then Paul says, do you know what this is protecting? This is protecting that we would no longer be children who are just tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now, doctrine. Doctrine, it simply means it's a set of belief, teachings, and principles. So more than your church teaches doctrine. Every time you scroll social media, there's doctrine. Every time you read the latest headline, there's doctrine. There are the communicating of a set of belief, teachings, and principles. Think about what Paul just said here. As all of us, as our part, the unique parts of the body, are working, we're growing, we're building, we're all growing up into the head, Jesus Christ. We're built, the body is built strong. When that happens, we will not be like children, tossed to and fro by the waves. Every July, our family goes to Naples, Florida. It's kind of our big exhale for the year. We get out into the ocean. Some, as you know, some days the ocean is calm as can be. Other days, the waves are appropriately fun. Big enough, but not too big. This year, there were some days, right? I was able to get out a little bit deeper than two of my sons who love to be in it. And it was a blast just watching wave after wave pelt them. Just boom, boom, throw them around. Their little bodies could not withstand yet the pounding of the, and it was just throwing their bodies all over the place. This is what Paul says, as all of us use our gifts, we're growing up in a strength that with every scroll on social media and every new social media fad and all the headlines we read and the latest quote-unquote studies they say and the popular books that are going and the movies and documentaries that are going viral and school agendas that get pressed, that we would be able to stand there and go, nope, that's wrong. That ain't right. Yes, that is of the Lord. And together, not on our own, but together, as all of us are using those gifts, like the mature body of Jesus Christ is able to withstand those things and not just be like paper mache that just blow wherever the new wind of doctrine and all our neighbors and people say. Together, unified through every believer doing its part, the equipping gifts, equipping, the doing ministry gifts, doing, the whole body maturing, getting bigger and stronger and more like Jesus. So when the winds of doctrine blow, we're strong together. But withstanding this, and this is where sometimes we can stop, especially us like good Midwest Christian folk, this is sometimes where we stop. Well, all of it, it's just for the purpose of standing. No, that then has a greater end. It's for the purpose of the glory to the head. We stand for the purpose of glory to the head of the body. This unity, fifth reality, this unity and maturity are held together by Christ and are for the glory of Christ. Verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. All this maturing of the body is to be built up into Christ, who is the head. The head holds it all together. The head gives every part for the functioning of the body. The head, Jesus Christ, gets all the glory. And so how's He gifted you? And if you don't know, like, let's all just take a step. Here's a stirring God has, I'm just going to step toward. Here's a need I see in the body, I'm just going to take a step toward. And how then do the equipping gifts equip you to take that step? And what does it look like to get going on those next steps? And how is all this to be carried out? The last two words of our passage today. So that it builds itself up in what? In love. And that's what we're going to look at next week. How do we grow up as disciples in love? We're one unified spiritual body functioning in many diverse spiritual gifts. So would you stand with me as I send us out of here? I want to send us out with a bit of a charge and a benediction for us today. When we open God's word, there are always things we are to learn and know. But when we open God's word, there are things we're called to do. And Ephesians chapter 4 today has called us to run off those sidelines and get in the game with whatever gifts God's given us and wherever He's called us, that we might use those, exercise those gifts, and see His body built up for the glory of the head, Jesus Christ. And may we all, as we walk out of here today, take one step this week toward that. Redeemer, you are loved. You are sent next Sunday. What it looks like to grow up in love. We'll see you back here for that. But have a great week.